From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Margaret Jones is a part white, part Native American girl who grew up on the mean streets of South Central Los Angeles. Margaret Seltzer is all white, born and raised in affluent Sherman Oaks, California. Jones was raised by an African American foster mother, affectionately called Big Mom. Seltzer, who's now 33, was raised by her biological parents. While Seltzer was attending private school, Jones was running drugs for the Bloods. The two would seem to have nothing in common except Seltzer's imagination. Jones is a fraud, as is her acclaimed new memoir, Love and Consequences, unwittingly published by Riverhead Books. Seltzer actually wrote it, and she played the part convincingly. Here she is in an unaired interview for NPR's program Tell Me More, describing her decision to sell drugs.
I think I thought it was an honor. You look around and everybody's doing dirt bad and you have hand-me-down shoes and clothes and the kids at school are making fun of you and you have a chance to get some little money and get some nice clothes, show off a little bit, have something. You've had nothing your whole life. Something looks pretty good.
Well, Riverhead Books has recalled Seltzer's book and canceled a promotional tour. Joining us now is Sarah Nelson, editor-in-chief of Publishers Weekly. Welcome to the
Hi.
Program. Another black eye for publishing, 2 years after James Frey revealed that he'd fabricated parts of his memoir, A Million Little Pieces. How does this sort of thing happen?
Well, I actually think that there's a significant distinction between the Frey case and this. I mean, this does seem to be shaping up to be an actual hoax, I mean, where she set out to make up a story out of whole cloth. And I understand that when she was asked some questions, she presented some documents and photographs and introduced some of the executives to people she claimed were her foster family and the people that she knew. So it seems that she set out consciously to do this. I'm still not completely convinced that that was the case, for example, with James Frey. Clearly, they didn't ask enough questions. But I also think that if somebody is hell-bent on perpetrating a hoax, there's very little you can do about it. I mean, it's significantly different from somebody who just kind of looks away when you ask them a tough question.
Although this isn't just a matter of receiving a manuscript over the transom and deciding to publish it. There was a close relationship between the person who submitted it, the young woman, and an editor.
Right.
What do you think in the industry today passes for due diligence in that relationship, and what, in your view, should pass for due diligence?
Well, I think that apparently her editor or someone within the publishing house did ask her for documentation and asked to be introduced to, you know, members of the foster family. So I think that's a start, and I think that's a good start. But I think, yes, I mean, you raise a very good point. I mean, if you sit in a room with somebody or talk on the phone with somebody every day for 3 years, which I believe is about what they're saying, I'm not sure it's such a good thing that the details never changed, which is one of the things that the editor said.
I mean, since most people's memories are not so unchanging over
That's
time.
That's right. There were clearly a lot of people that were taken in by this. I mean, you guys went and interviewed her. I mean, you hadn't run it yet, but you probably were planning to. And, you know, we reviewed it quite favorably at Publishers Weekly and didn't raise an eyebrow about the unbelievability of the story or anything like that. So, I mean, it's not our responsibility to do that, but I think it demonstrates how easily one can be led.
Let me ask you a slippery slope question here, which is in many memoirs, it seems to be generally accepted now okay to have a composite character here and there, or perhaps to embellish this memory or that one. Is the current standard for a memoir that it's supposed to be rock solid true from start to finish?
Well, I'm not sure that I agree that the standard is that it's okay to embellish. I think there's embellishing and there's embellishing and there's misremembering and there's misremembering. I mean, if you talk about the car that your father drove and you say it was a green Packer and it was really a blue Cadillac.
No one's going to go to court over that, obviously.
Right, and does it really matter? A lot of these problems could be solved by saying some names, dates, and characters were conflated for the narrative.
Has this made you think back on any other books that have been reviewed recently? I'm not going to ask you the titles, but has it made you just wonder one more time about any other book that you've seen come out that was...
Well, I'm a very cynical reader, so...
So you think of several books that you've recently...
Well, I mean, I don't believe everything I read. I'm not preoccupied with what's fact and what's fiction, unless it is completely unbelievable to me. And I have not read this book, but it certainly sounds like a pretty wild story.
Sarah Nelson, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Sarah Nelson is editor-in-chief of Publishers Weekly. She was talking about the book Love and Consequences, ostensibly written by Margaret Jones. It turns out it was a fraud and written by a young woman named Margaret Seltzer.